And we're actually going to do that again today. I want to follow up a little bit on some of the things we were talking about on Tuesday, which you all remember very well. But I just want to carry on from there. It's something that will work between the two. And that is Matthew 23. Just want to consider that the Lord is our healer today. That we are part of that. You notice the scripture from Matthew 10. Talked about sending out the people. Matthew 10, verse 5. You go to Matthew 23. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them. So he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. They were given an authority in this area. In other words, that's a manifestation, or you could say a gift of healing. And this is part of the establishment of the kingdom. And then he gives the names of all of them. And then these 12 Jesus sent out, verse 5, after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter into any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Which is a sign of how manifestation should work. They are given to you. You give them away. And now, Matthew 23. I just want to read a little bit of it. We've read it before. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the worry seat of Moses. No, in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with as much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Are you listening? Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, Christ. But the greatest among you shall be servant. Whoever exalts himself so shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. He was setting out the misunderstanding of the Pharisees in order to help people understand. And what I see here is something very interesting. It is a very horizontal organization. Everybody is next to Christ. In fact, unless you know Christ, you're not in this organization. Everybody has the Father. One is your teacher. Who's your teacher? The Holy Spirit is your teacher, right? He reveals and recalls and He's your helper and your teacher. So he names the Trinity and says, you're all next to the Trinity. And the Pharisees have inserted themselves in these places of authority. This doesn't do away with the offices of the church. But the offices of the church, interestingly enough, are kingdom offices. This is your relationship, your salvation, your life. This is your personal relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they were blocking it. They were interfering with it, with the traditions of man. With legalism, with the heaping of burdens. Jesus was not in favor of it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Now, Matthew 10 was the kingdom level of healing, a manifestation level of healing. We are to earnestly seek that. We are to organize for it. We are to gather ourselves together to allow it, because it is a manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. It's not what you're trying to do, it's what he's trying to do with his kingdom, with his body. But there's something else around, and that's called salvation, where you have a direct relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you please the Father. That is a relationship of faith. It is a relationship of individual trust. And that is why when you look in the scriptures, it says without faith it's impossible to please God. Because you can be healed by your faith. There are numerous examples where Jesus says faith is the, not just faith, but your faith is the principal activity of your healing. First John 5:4, for whatever is born of God, that's salvation, that's born again, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. If you're born of God by faith, if you're born again, you have a victory already. It is the victory of Isaiah 53. And you can overcome the world. All the things that would attack you personally. So if you had a disease attack you as you walk through the world, could it be overcome by you? You're born of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, the kingdom is also born of God, but in a different sense. If you've been born of God, that verse is telling you that you can overcome by your faith. What are you entitled to believe? Well, you're entitled to certainly believe those things that come from the Word. What does Romans 10:17 say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. But what's interesting in this verse is that it says our faith. It doesn't say God will come in and rescue you. And that's why I mentioned it. There's many instances. There's about a dozen times when individual faith is cited as the critical factor in a healing. tells the blind man, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Tells the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made you well. It says that Jesus noticed their faith when they let that guy down through the roof. The guy comes with his son. He wants to get him delivered. They say he was an epileptic. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but he needed to be delivered. And Jesus tells him it's possible if he believes. Some things become possible only because you're believing them. And this is where the victory is. And this is an individual victory. This is the victory of salvation over the world. The God of this world will try to kill, steal, and destroy you. But your faith can make you whole. God's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of the born again. He's a respecter of the believer. You don't rank by your status in society before him. You rank by whether you will accept the word. You'll hear the word, accept it, and produce from it. That's category 4. What Wenzel's here. So we have faith without which it's impossible to please God. Now, I'm suggesting to you today that instead of trying to get God to do a whole bunch of miracles for you, or manifestations, which are given to the church, you'll notice, get him to do the things that are given to you in your salvation. Start with your salvation. Why do I suggest that? Somebody said, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. Unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom. That process seems to be lost. But if you're born again, then you have a victory. Even your faith, which can make you whole. What's rule number 1? God will work with whatever you believe. I was reading this article. Some bioscience thing. And they were saying how what happens with the complainer, you may know some complainers out there. There's none in this room today. But what happens with the complainer is the complainer actually reshapes the neurological paths in their brain so that complaining becomes a natural, reinforced, expanding area of who they are and what they are. And if you stop complaining, somebody said once you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You'd be surprised how many Christians are confessing the problem or murmuring and complaining. And they do it about their health. And James says, if you do that enough, you'll deceive your own spirit. You'll deceive it. So your faith can make you better. It can make you better, by the way, not only in your body. It can make you better in your soul. There should never be a judgmental spirit running through the church. That's a complaining spirit in many ways. It's also an insecurity. You're complaining because you think somehow somebody else is doing something wrong that can't be fixed. Or that's important. Because if you thought it could be fixed, you'd go fix it, wouldn't you? You see, people by their actions say it's not important. But by their words, they say it is important. You can't halt between two opinions. You can't be double-minded. If you want to be negative-minded, you're not in the good news. You're in the bad news. Turn on the TV, you can get the bad news every day. Go to the coffee shop, you get the bad news every day. Now, if you're negative-minded, your mind will go to where you will believe I'm trying to remember where I heard this. But someone was saying how they had I think it was Sigmar, so you probably already heard it. About this person that woke up and already was planning their funeral because she felt this pain in her side, right? And she had it all plotted out. She was picking her hymns and looking for the will. The Lord told her to take the wire that was poking her out of her ribs and she'd be better. Anyway. So, in the absence of information, the carnal mind goes negative. I haven't heard. So they've had a car accident and a train hit them. Something fell off an airplane and killed them. Something's gone wrong. They never say, I haven't heard. They're delayed because someone pulled them over and said, I want to give you 3 bags of cash. It's 1.5 million, 500,000 in each bag. It's all $50 and $100 bills. Would you please take it? I'm in a hurry. I've got to go. But you must count it before you go on any further so that you know if I call you, I want you to be able to say, yes, you gave me $1.5 million. Whose mind goes that way? In the absence of information, the carnal mind goes negative. In the absence of information, the spiritual mind has a universe of possibility because all things are possible to the believer. And you can see how much you're thinking carnally and how much you're thinking negatively by look at all the times you have no information and you assumed something negative. You thought something negative before you knew. Here's an example. They'll blow it in the fourth quarter. They'll lose in overtime. That's the Winnipeg fans cry. Every time I've gone to a game, I couldn't stand it very long because everybody around me would start talking negatively. We'll win in the fourth quarter. We'll win in the last 10 seconds. Actually, the last game, we won with no seconds left on the clock. How did we do that? I think we did that because it was a miserable day and half the fans stayed home. So, when you think about your health, God will work with whatever you believe. And you better stop believing what you don't want. For this is the victory that has overcome the world. We got born again. And that victory, how did we get born again? Our faith. Yeah, it was God's grace, but it was our faith. Remember that woman who came and got the power out of Jesus? Came up in the crowd and got the power. No one else got it. Jesus said, who touched me? Well, how did you know someone touched you? Because the power went out. Not in the sense of Manitoba Hydro. But the power went out of me. And she realized it and told him the story. And he said, my power made you well. Well, actually, his power did make her well. But he didn't say that. He says, your faith made you well. Your faith made you well. What are you applying your faith to today? First of all, maintain, improve, strengthen your health. Secondly, help your soul retrain your brain a little bit to be transformed so that you can prove what is the good, the perfect, and the acceptable will of God. What part of the will of God do you accept? The good and the perfect. What part are you thinking about? Depends on how transformed your mind is. In the absence of information, do you think negatively or positively? Matthew 8:17 says this, that it was fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, he himself took up our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Is that true? When you feel an ache or a pain, is that the thing that blocks out every other thought around that physical symptom? Or 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you were healed. Is that what blocks out everything else? Because in the absence of information, you have a symptom, but that's not information. You got to run to the doctor to get information. You want a diagnosis. You want them to fill the void. Or do you want to say simply, he took up my infirmities and carried away my diseases. And according to my faith, it is possible for me to be free from this plague, to be protected from the pestilence, to be delivered, and I will receive that. Though 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, I will receive it. I will go forward with my Savior. I know my Redeemer lives. I'm going to have that. Or do you say, looks bad. We walk by looks and not by faith. That's why everybody looks so good when they come in on Sunday morning. I've heard way too many Christians tell me you got to face reality, but the implication is that you can't change reality. If you're going to overcome the world, you have to change reality. The reality is the God of this world is there to steal from you and kill you and destroy you. He wants to take the word of promise from you as soon as it's sown. He wants circumstance, an oppression, a battle, a storm to come before you have any root. Well, we understand that. That's why the church exists, to bring a manifestation when you can't do it yourself. But after you've been sitting around in the church for 3 years, you should be doing some things yourself. You're supposed to go from the milk baby to the meat baby. That was one of Paul's problems. He said, you're still on milk. You're still repeating the same stuff when you were born again 6 months old in the Lord. You're still walking the same way, and you're not defending yourself. You're not overcoming the world. You're not counting it all joy. You're counting it negative. And when a disease comes along, you think the disease is won before it's even got a foothold. Which diseases will God not cure today? What is the critical determination of whether God will cure you? It is your faith. Hallelujah. When you start to believe that your faith can do something, you're at the beginning of doing something. You're at the beginning of walking yourself in faith where it doesn't stop you to have to rely on the Lord, to have to receive from the Lord, to quicken your mortal body. Build your faith. It comes by hearing and hearing the word. Which word do you hear? The one that heals you, not the one that doesn't heal you. Well, what if the doctor's giving you one that doesn't heal you? What if an angel in heaven gives you one that doesn't heal you? Paul said, I don't care if an angel in heaven shows up. If he doesn't talk this gospel, don't listen. That's good news. Your faith can change your body and your mind and your circumstance. Your faith can make you whole. He took up your infirmities. That's where your body's weak. He carried away your diseases. Infirmities can be demonic. If you read Matthew 8:17, it appears to be a parallel construction where he's driving out demons with the word and healing all that were sick in order to take up your infirmities and carry away your diseases. That's a parallel construction. It may not be the right way to interpret it, but it's a valid way to interpret it. So you drive out the demons with the word. Are you reading with me? Matthew 10:5. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them. Do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter into any city of the Samaritans. He was keeping the kingdoms separate at that point. But rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The people of the house of Israel. There was lost sheep in there. And as you go, say this. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. This is something that's been given into the church. Go back up now. Matthew 8:14. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. To fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, he himself took our infirmities, carried away our diseases. Let's try that together. Jesus, he himself took my infirmities and carried away my diseases. Try it again. He himself took my infirmities and carried away my diseases. The Lord Jesus himself took my infirmities and carried away my diseases. Is that your confession? Did it sound strange to confess that? Did it sound old routine? What do you do with an old routine? Same thing you do with a good steak, even though you had it before. It still feeds you. It still builds you. Until you will submit to the gospel and receive it, get born again, and then get into the salvation of the gospel, you will always be prey to disease and sickness. It's not that disease and sickness won't attack you anyway, but you'll have an answer. Because you're born of God, you will overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We got time to pray, and we're going to do it now, because Matthew's got to leave before 1 o'clock. Well, it's 1 o'clock. I kept you 45 minutes late. So...